Happy Wednesday, everybody. I hope that you're having a great midweek. Thanks so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. That's right. It's time for more of your listener questions, including a question from here in the Show Me State. And I can't even believe this. It's a question about shipping back an iron skillet that gets autographed down at Walt Disney World on your trip. I have no idea what the answer will be, so stand by for that. But first, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at VirtualMickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, for all those folks who are getting ready for Marathon Weekend 2018, 49 days to go until we head down to Walt Disney World to run so many magical miles and make those great memories and collect the bling. And you can get excited for the next trip as well, whether it's 49 days or 449 days. It doesn't matter. Grab Days to Go WDW, customize it, put your own pictures. You can use the stock photos. I'm looking at a picture of Animal Kingdom right now. It's just a great app to get you excited every time you interact with your Apple device. Check out these and other great apps over at VirtualMickey.com. Today's show also brought to you by our Amazon affiliate link over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Please support the Be Our Guest Podcast this holiday season by using our Amazon affiliate link again at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon for all of your online shopping needs. You'll get all of your Prime benefits. It'll cost you nothing extra, but it will really help out the show. And we would really, really appreciate that this holiday season. Again, BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon for all of your online shopping needs this holiday season.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1250 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you. I hope that you're having a great midweek, and come about this time next week, we'll be doing great as most of us will be getting ready for a big Thanksgiving holiday here in the United States. So hang in there. You are almost there. Breaking news, too, for the Be Our Guest podcast. We are now a featured podcast on Spotify. So another Woo! Place. I know. How's that? That's a pretty big deal.
It is a pretty big deal.
I was pretty excited for that. So, if you ever need, if you're in a pinch and you need to listen to the show, we're right there on Spotify with all of your music that you listen to. So, all the other places, we try to make it as easy as possible to grab the show wherever you want. Please stay subscribed. We love those subscribers. So don't unsubscribe to whatever you, wherever you get the show, Pocket Cast or Instacast or Overcast, whatever cast software you use, Apple Podcasts, I don't care. But stay subscribed. We'd appreciate that. But we are now available on Spotify, so we're glad for that. Thanks for growing with us. So joining me today, it's time to answer your listener questions. We have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. Happy Wednesday, Ricky, and almost Thanksgiving.
Oh my goodness. I cannot believe that it is almost Thanksgiving. That's kind of crazy, but I'm getting ready. The family's all coming to town, so that'll be fun, right?
That's it. Yeah, it's fun having the family over for Thanksgiving. We do it here at the house. It's ironic. We have like the smallest house in the family, yet every year we jam everybody into this house. But, I guess that's what the holidays are all about, sitting on top of each other.
Mine's kind of going to be a construction project also, because my parents are going to help me paint.
Oh, there you go.
How fast can we get this done before Thanksgiving dinner has to be served is kind of the question that we're asking.
So, in other words, for your celebration, it's like bring a side and a miter saw to get the job done.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. I like it. All right. Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less. Travel. We could change the name of the company to the Pam for a lot of that doesn't sound right. So what's up, Pam? How's it going?
It's going great. I own the company and myself. So I'm both things, but it's going well. Looking forward to Thanksgiving. We are actually running down to Universal this weekend for the brand new holiday offerings that are going to be happening there in Universal. I'm really looking forward to seeing that. And then we're also going to run over and see the new stuff over at Hollywood Studios, too. So we'll come back with video and photos and stuff like that. For
that
both.
Life.
I know, right? The miles for less and the magic for less. So love we it. Are. It's a very short trip, but I'm like in the holiday spirit. As I've said on the podcast many times, have many trees located throughout my home, and I have almost all of them up, just up, not decorated, just up and lit, you know, with the lights on. Well, they're all pre-lit at this point because, you know, you got to do that. But except for the main tree. So we're in the Christmas spirit here. Carols are playing, I will just say.
Let me just say, if we still don't have a pre-lit tree. We have like an old
I know,
artificial
I don't have a
tree.
Pre-lit one either. I'm too cheap.
But, you know, and the thing is like, I wouldn't know what to do on Black Friday when I got to go buy, you know, Pam's like, go up to Walgreens and buy one more strand of 100 white lights. And then I got to find the one that matches because it's got to have the same, you know, it's got to have the same color cord. It's got to look like last year. And the thing is, like, it always turns into like 3 or 4 strands of 100 every year. That tree, our tree gives off heat. Like, we don't have a fireplace. Our house is too small. But when we light that tree, baby, we have it's like an oven in that living room. It's awesome.
Grab the cocoa and
get around to it. I like it. See, mine is a family tree. Like, I've had this tree since I was a kid, so I brought it with me when I got married, and now I'm like, well, I don't want to get rid of my family tree, but I should just go for the pre-lit and just have that be that.
We always say, yeah, we're gonna get it right on Black Friday, you know, like right after the holiday. What's that, the day after? No. Boxing Day or whatever. We're like,
we don't,
we're too broke by then. Anyway, we have kids. All right, so first question. I love this one. This may be one of the best questions after 1250 episodes. Here we go. Ooh. It's from and here's how it's from John. I never thought I would ask this type of question, but here goes. So when it starts off like that, you know,
it's always a doozy.
That's it. Okay, so if someone wanted to buy a cast iron skillet at an outlet mall, then have it signed and want to ship it back to O'Fallon, Missouri, how would that person go about doing so on property? This person would not have the prepaid label since it would be purchased there, nor a box. I guess if this isn't an option, extra luggage would be required since this someone will be checking a heavy frying pan or carry it on, which will be all kinds of funny at security. And that's from John in O'Fallon, Missouri, which is about 12 miles from the VR Guest Podcast Studios. So, real cool. I don't know how far from Pam, but he's right down the old highway here from me here in St. Louis. So,
okay.
Okay, so you want to get a frying pan, I guess get it autographed. I don't know who's
I'm
autographing.
I'm going to ask you about Rapunzel.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, so, yeah, exactly. Okay. It does remind me of Rapunzel.
Okay. I mean, Here's kind of what I was thinking. Since it is the holiday season, a lot of the stores are, because I know that they did it for Halloween, because I bought one or something similar. But like they'll have like you know Christmas gifts of, you know, make in, you know, in a cast iron, little cast iron skillet thing, and you can make like a small baking thing in it. Maybe try getting a small one like that and then putting that in your luggage. And that's not going to be extraordinarily heavy, but it would be a small kind of cast iron skillet so that it would look like a cast iron skillet. Then that could be signed. As far as shipping a regular cast iron skillet, that's all I got. That's all you guys. I ain't got no ideas for that.
I have the solution.
Oh, my gosh. Of course Pam has a solution.
I just want to know who's signing the cast iron skillet because,
food.
You think? I mean, because I was thinking maybe like a famous chef, but Food and Wine, you know, it went on for 9 months, but it's actually over now. You know, Food and Wine started back in 2012, and it finally ended a couple days ago. So, you know, I was like, oh, well, who's signing this thing? Yeah, Rapunzel, I guess.
Right. Yeah. So you actually can get small cast iron skillets. They are available through Amazon.
Use our link.
Order that. Have it sent to your resort. Get it there. If you're buying it here, he did say he was buying it here, right? Instead of taking it with him.
No, he wants to buy it in an outlet mall. That was part of the deal when he gets there.
I mean, if you go to the outlets, you may be able to do it. I don't know. But I would say Amazon's probably going to be as inexpensive as an outlet mall in most cases. And then what you can do is actually bring a flat rate box with you that already has a label on it. Just they fold flat. And that way, the flat rate box, it doesn't matter what it weighs, it's still just a flat rate. Mm-hmm. You absolutely could put it in your carry-on. In your check luggage, it's going to be a little bit too heavy, and it's going to take up a lot of the weight that you're allowed. You're going to reach that 50-pound limit. pretty pretty quickly. But honestly, that's what I would do.
Would you seriously be able to carry out? I'm saying, like, I mean, like my grandma had like a black cast iron skillet, and I think it was
heavy.
We
have one too. Steve does steaks and
Could you carry that? You could carry that on. I mean, like, you could knock somebody out with that thing. There's no way you could carry that on a plane.
But I mean, you could do that with a lot of things, I think. So.
Right.
I don't know, man. Are the skies safe?
I've never seen a restriction that said cast iron skillet.
I've seen glass because I try to take one in, but not cast iron skillet. So
it just makes me nervous. I don't want to fly with people have it packing cast iron skillets. That just doesn't sound good.
I'm sure that wouldn't, you know, you'd have to, I mean, that would be hard to do through the.
Yeah, I mean, I think you'd be able to hit one person with the skillet, and then the rest of the plane would come and tackle you because they'd see you winding up again.
But what if it's like organized crime and there's a whole, like, cast iron skillet gang? You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody pulls them out. That's just, that just makes me nervous. Anyway, let's get to the real stuff. Thanks, John. We appreciate that. Nothing better the week before Thanksgiving than to talk about that. I love it. All right, next is Jennifer. Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. We're headed to the world in July, and we'll be there for the 4th of July. My question is Magic Kingdom or Epcot on the 4th? I feel like we should do the Magic Kingdom because that's what we always watch on the live stream. But you're thinking about staying at the Beach Club, so it would be easy to walk to and from Epcot, so I'm assuming the crowds will be crazy. Thoughts? Mike, I know you typically go that week. Is it crazy busy? They're going to, let's see here. And she also says, is the Beach Club doable? Let's see, I don't understand that. So let's just stay there with that question because the next one I don't get. She says, thanks for all your help. And I'm 460.8 miles from Pam here in northwestern Connecticut. All right, so the question is about the 4th of July, Magic Kingdom or Epcot. Again, I always say Epcot. You can go to the Magic Kingdom on the 3rd if you're there. I know that they have that connection with the live stream. But Ricky, what are your thoughts? I mean, have you been there on the 4th and the 3rd?
That's one holiday I have never been to Walt Disney World for. Been there now for Christmas. Oh, kind of Christmas. And then been there for New Year's. Haven't been there for Easter. I think I would do... I would do Magic Kingdom on the 3rd if possible, and then 4th of July on the 4th at Epcot. That's the word I'm trying to think of.
Well, Pam, I know you do that as well. And the thing is, too, what I've noticed is we do go a lot. We'll try to kind of kick off our vacation on the 4th of July, maybe arrive on the 3rd or the 4th, and then stay maybe through, like, the 10th or 11th. And it's really strange. I don't understand why. But the crowds never seem heavy that week right after the 4th of July. And it doesn't make sense because I'm sure there's a lot of people doing the same thing I am, where you want to be down there for that awesome Illuminations tag or, you know, to see the 4th of July fireworks at the Magic Kingdom. But I have no gripes with the crowd levels the week immediately following the 4th. I don't know why. Pam, have you felt that or what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I feel exactly the same way. Maybe it's because it's so hot that any one person can't spend an extended period of time in the parks. So you're in, you're out. You're in, you're out. You're in, you're out. I don't know. But yeah, no, I agree. It's not unreasonable. In fact, the summer crowds never really bother me because I just feel like in the summer, any place that's fun and outside is going to have a little bit, you know, there's going to be a little bit more crowds there than usual. So it's just kind of go with the flow at that time. But I agree that, you know, we go there frequently during that time just because we already have a day off. It kind of helps extend the trip a little bit. And we really enjoy it. And like Mike and Ricky suggested, we do that as well. We go to the park that is, Magic Kingdom the day before the actual holiday. And then we go ahead and head to Epcot on the actual holiday because we feel at that point we get a little less crowded too. So we love that.
Yeah, Epcot's nice when you have the holidays. It just handles the crowds better because Illuminations, you can watch it all the way around the lagoon where you're kind of smashed in there a little bit at the Magic Kingdom unless you go like to secondary places like a Fantasyland or Tomorrowland to watch fireworks or even Frontierland, which isn't ideal. And you want to be there for that 4th of July Illuminations tag. If you've never seen that, like a New Year's Eve or 4th of July tag, it's pretty amazing. You got to see that once in your life if you're a Disney fan for sure. All right, Dawn is up next. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. We're planning our next Walt Disney World vacation for the first week of October 2018. My husband and I have two boys. They're 8 and 18. Our older son is graduating this year, so this trip will be just my husband, our 8-year-old, and me. This time we're planning on staying in a studio, and we've narrowed it down to the Polynesian or the Beach Club. The Beach Club seems to have a fun location, especially during Food and Wine Festival. And since we're going the first week in October, I think we should be able to take advantage of their amazing pools. That said, all the delicious food options make the Poly really appealing. Ohana is my husband's favorite restaurant, and having daily access to Dole Whips is pretty much my idea of heaven. Both of these seem like really good options, so which would you stay at? Thanks so much, Dawn. She's down in Nashville, 540 miles from Pittsburgh, and she's AKA Smashville, home of the best franchise in sports. Go Preds. The Blues are going to take care of the Preds this year, and my Mizzou Tigers are heading to Nashville this Saturday to take care of business with the Vandy Commodores. We're going bowling after this Saturday, baby. And my apologies to all the Vols listeners. We got your coach fired. Sorry about that. That's what hanging 50 on you will do. Anyway, so away from the football and the sports, I love my sports and I like to talk smack because we're finally actually winning games and it was a long road to do that. So anyway, this is like a... It's one of those things you can't go wrong. Beach Club or Polynesian, boy, you're going to have a great experience either way. They're going in October. Does that sway you at all, Pam? What do you say to this?
Golly. You know, not only does the Beach Club have a great pool, but it's also in a great location. Oh, wait. Not only does the Polynesian have a great pool, but it's also in a great location. Shoot, I don't know that you could find two more almost tied for cool factor, location factor, restaurant factor, whatever with these two. It's just a really challenging thing to do. I think, you know, the Polynesian's volcano pool is really great too. The fact that you can see the fireworks from the Polynesian, the Magic Kingdom fireworks while you're in the pool, that's really a cool thing too. But the Beach Club has a great pool. You're within walking distance to Epcot. You have great restaurants there too. You have the boardwalk right there. You can ride the monorail for the Polynesian. Yeah, I'm not helping at all because this decision is too close to call, as they say. So flag this play, Mike, because we're donezo.
Oh, I
know.
There's
no right answer.
Here's what I'm going to say, and I am going to give her a definite answer. Beach Club for this trip because, and here's why, it's during Food and Wine, so you're going to have that proximity to the festival to walk. You don't have to deal with the buses that way or, you know, anything else, any mode of transportation. October, it's still going to be warm. You're going to get to take advantage of Storm Along Bay, which I give that the nod over the pool at the Polynesian. Although the Polynesian has a great pool, nothing's better than Storm Along Bay. Also, here's another thing to think about. Your husband loves Ohana. No problem. You know what? You go by there. You still take advantage of the things you're looking for, like the foods, the Dole Whips. When you're at the Magic Kingdom, just make a point to hop on the monorail, go over to the Polynesian, spend 3 or 4 hours there. You don't have to stay there. And you could still have a meal there. You could go to Trader Sam's. You can have Dole Whips. You can do all that stuff outside of staying there and still stay at the Beach Club, monorail right away, and you're set. So, you know, or just, you know, take an Uber, whatever it takes, however you want to get there. But, you know, for this one, I say Beach Club. So, Ricky, final thoughts, and we'll move on to the next question.
I actually, and this is hard to say, too, because I do love me the Polynesian, but I think I'm going to agree with Mike. Nobody use that ever again. That's never being said ever again on this podcast or anywhere. Because of the reasons why he said it, you're there for food and wine. And the pool is so fantastic. As long as you're planning on spending a day at the pool, I'm going to say Beach Club.
In 49 days, my toes will be in that sand at Storm Along Bay. Watch my luck. It'll get closed.
It'll be so freezing, though.
I don't care.
I hope it's cold.
You're so mean. You're so mean.
I know.
And you just said you agree with me, and you're so mean. Anyway, Erica's got the next question. Let's move on. Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I love your podcast. I listen on my commute, and it really helps me keep my sanity between Disney trips. Well, thanks a lot. And 10 and 2 on that steering wheel. My 18-year-old daughter and I will be driving to Disney from North Carolina for her first spring break from college. We have a split stay booked for March 3rd through March 9th of 2018. Our first night will be at All-Star Music, and then we have 5 nights at Riverside in a royal guest room garden view. I'm super excited about this because we have only stayed at Values in the past. Let me just stop there. You are going to love it at Riverside in those royal guest rooms. They're awesome. And especially if you've never stayed in a Moderate, they're so cool. And they'll seem really big. Our first night is at Music because it is a Saturday. We will get in late, and the rate is much cheaper. My question is this. What is the best way to transfer from Music to Riverside? To make matters a bit more challenging, we have early morning magic booked at the Magic Kingdom for our first park day, so we need to be there for check-in at 7:30. I've heard nothing but good things about early morning magic and figured it would be a great way to kick off our trip. There are a few different ways we could transfer to Riverside. What is the best and easiest way? Thanks so much. Erica's in Jacksonville, North Carolina, about 580 miles from Pam. All right, so Pam, what would you do? Getting from music? Oh, they obviously they're going to have a car, so I don't. There's not really an issue. You just, I mean, unless you need anything out of your luggage, right? I mean, if you have your own car, you're set.
I agree. We frequently, I mean, we have our own car most of the time that we rent. And we typically just take our luggage from one place to the next. It really doesn't take that much time. If your room is not ready, you can just drop it off at Bell Services. If it is ready, you can go ahead and drop your luggage there, which always just kind of feels good. It's like we know we have that out of the way. But that's what we do. We just drive from one to the next.
Yeah, Ricky's there. There we go. We got the hotline. Who's calling? Who's calling with a better answer? No, that's cool. So, Ricky, anything that you can add to that? I mean, I would just drive over there and I'd bring my own luggage and just check it with Bell Services, like Pam said.
Absolutely. 100% what I would do. I'd drive myself and go to Bell Services and it'll be easy peasy. Boom, yes. Boom.
Yeah. And the thing is, you can get there super early because I know you're going to Extra Magic morning.
Yeah.
You know what? There's too many acronyms to keep track of and harder to
read
the email. But sometimes when it sounds like I can't read, it's because you guys put in so many acronyms I have to decipher on the fly. I don't want to just be like AK, EMF, blah, 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 you know, it's for the newbies. But, and I can't read that well either. You know, it's why I had to leave teaching, I think. But anyway, you know, I would say, I know that it's early, but the thing is, I've arrived when I used to drive all the time. We'd arrive sometimes like 5 a.m. and they're cool. I mean, your room probably isn't going to be ready, but you can check in and drop stuff. And I've taken many a nap by the pool, you know, just because I'm exhausted when I get there. The parks aren't even open. So just a thought. All right. Brendan's up next. Hey, Mike, Ricky and Pam, just started listening to the show a few months ago and absolutely love it. Thanks for making my 2-hour commute a bit brighter. But wait, let's get an average here. Pam, what's your commute every day?
It's about 0.45 seconds. No, it's like it's not very long. It's up the stairs now.
There you go. So if we put yours with Brendan's, you guys have still like a super long commute. Anyway, well, Brendan, hang in there. We appreciate you taking us with you. My wife and I are planning to visit our Florida family in April during our spring break. We're both educators. He's driving 2 hours to teach. Man, God bless you. We'd like to visit the Magic Kingdom with our 2 kids and parents, spend the night in a hotel, and then utilize the pool at the hotel the next day. Here are my questions. Number one, what's the best date to visit the Magic Kingdom between March 1st and April 8th? It says FYI, Easter is on April 1st. No joke. Sorry, couldn't resist. Or is there a best day of the week in general that's best to go to the Magic Kingdom? So, Ricky, is there a certain day of the week that's best at the Magic Kingdom? This would be a good thing to look up on touring plans, but...
Yeah, it would be, and I obviously don't have that pulled up, and I know that they have that information. I would say avoid Mondays, because that's going to be more crowded, typically, because when people come in, they usually will come in on Sunday, yes. You know, for their vacation. So, Monday is usually the first park that they want to go to is the one that they think of, which is the Magic Kingdom. So I would avoid that one if possible. Maybe go on a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, and then maybe avoid the weekends if possible, too.
That's exactly what I would say. I would say avoid Monday, and especially like a Saturday or Sunday, if you can. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, those middays. All right, number two, thinking about staying at Art of Animation. There's going to be 7 of us, 5 adults, 2 kids, who are 4 and 2. Any specific area you would recommend? The Nemo pool looks like the most fun for the kiddos. So, Pam, what would you say? They got kids 4 and 2 and 5 adults. Where would you want to stay at Art of Animation?
I think any of them are really fine. When you really think about it, I've heard the complaints that over towards maybe the Little Mermaid side, that those rooms are really far from the main building. Well, we've timed the walk a few times and we're still really talking about less than 5 minutes, like less than a 5-minute walk from the first one to the next. So I say if there's a theme that really, you know, kind of gets your fancy going, then stay with that theme and try to stay there. All the suites are cool. The Nemo rooms are just a tad more expensive because they're considered in a preferred location There are some there in the Nemo section, but I really love each one of the themes, and I think they did a great job of carrying that theme throughout the section. So whichever theme appeals to you, try to stay there.
I agree. I would just say Nemo is awesome because you got the proximity, like you just said. You got a great pool there right in the middle. Also, the cars is a really, just for me, I mean, I think it's a cool looking area. They've really hit it out of the park. Now, Lion King's fine, but Lion King doesn't have its own pool where Cars does. So just something to think about, but it's also down that end. All right, and number three, Mike, I'm headed to St. Louis for the National English Teacher Conference on the 15th. I know this is a Disney podcast, but can you offer any recommendations for great restaurants or bars downtown? Staying at the Drury Plaza, hook a brother up. Many thanks to y'all. All the best, Brendan. So I don't go downtown very often, unless the Cardinals game, but I would say Ballpark Village across from Busch Stadium. Lots of options there to drink and eat. Rick, anything? We pulled your St. Louis card, but what do you got? Anything for downtown?
No, I was going to say Ballpark Village.
There you go. It's pretty sweet. It's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. I think if you're downtown and wanting somewhere downtown, I think that's your best option. Yeah.
All right. This is not a St. Louis podcast. We're talking about Disney. Justin's up next. Hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. My fiance Sarah and I are getting married in Celebration in April.
Nice.
We're having a brunch wedding, and then the reception ends at 2 p.m. We are all heading across to the Magic Kingdom for the afternoon and evening to keep the party going. We're staying in the area at a vacation house with a lot of family, but my fiance and I are considering getting a separate room for ourselves the night of the wedding. Since my first visit to Walt Disney World in 2004, riding over to the Magic Kingdom, I was so amazed by the monorail passing through the Contemporary, and I've always wanted to stay there. When I have stayed on site, I have only ever stayed at value resorts because we are very thrifty travelers. Ricky, these are your peeps and mine.
Oh, they are my peeps, yes. So am I. Oh, no.
Whatever, says the girl who stayed at the Polynesian and the Grand Floridian the last couple of years.
Only thank you to Florence.
That's how thrifty travelers travel on other people's dime.
They
and
become
points.
Friends with people at DVC. Exactly.
That's it. We are considering using this as an excuse to splurge for a night with an in-park or a park view room at the Contemporary. We'd spend the afternoon and early evening in the Magic Kingdom with our friends and family before retiring to the resort to watch the fireworks from our room. Does this sound like a good plan, or have I built up the excitement for the Contemporary too much? Would we be better off saving our money and staying somewhere else on site? Is there another resort that any of you would recommend for a one-night stay for a wedding night? Thanks. Justin is in Portsmouth, Rhode Island, 583 miles from Pam. We have that radius there covered, like in the 500s. Everybody's kind of about 500 miles from you today. That's crazy. All right, so Pam, you've stayed at the Contemporary. Is it worth the splurge to get that theme? I mean, because I think everybody dreams of that. I've never done it. Ricky, I don't think you've ever done it, right?
Nope.
No.
That's one. I haven't been there. It's still on my bucket list to stay at the Contemporary.
Me too.
So, Florence, hook a sister up.
They like Tower, baby. No, so, Pam, what do you say to this? I mean, is it worth the splurge? Is it what everybody, because I think every Disney fan has that fantasy of what it would be like to have the Magic Kingdom right there on the patio.
And I really enjoy that view, I will say. There's just something about it. You know, there are certain rooms, depending on which way your bed's located, that you can lay in bed and see the Magic Kingdom. Now, I don't know that it gets, you know, much better than that. It really does. Like, that's the view that every Disney fan really wants. And we've done it a few times and really enjoyed that view, I will say. There are times I'll just sit out on my balcony and I always say to Steve, there it is. There's my castle. And at night, he'll try to close the curtains. And I'm like, no, 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 no. I want to be able to wake up and see my castle. So anyways, that's our ongoing joke. But I think it is. And I think it's worth doing. I mean, I know that it is a pricey option, but I think that it's really worth experiencing at some point in your life.
Here's how I see it. If you're not going to do it on your wedding night, you're probably never going to do it. I mean, that's your such a big opportunity to splurge. And that's something you'll be talking about forever. You know, I say, I know it is, like you said, it's expensive and it's hard to write that check to do that. But it's one night. I mean, Ricky, I say go for it because it's something you really, I think you would have regrets. You know, I'm thinking you could also do Wilderness Lodge. You're kind of in the area. It's a very nice room, a lot cheaper for a deluxe resort. But what do you say, Ricky?
I think that this is what they have their heart set on. And I don't think that if this is what you have your heart set on, I don't think you're ever going to be disappointed. You know what I'm saying? Like, if this is what you want. So you already know it's what you want. Just, it is a lot of money, but just go for it. Like, you won't regret it when you're doing it. I can guarantee that. So.
All righty. All right. Next is Tracy. She says, hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. Living in Australia makes any kind of Walt Disney World vacation a big deal in the planning and the spending. There's loads of details that need to be nailed down, sometimes 11 months in advance. I've been listening to a bunch of Disney podcasts for a couple of years now and have planned 3 successful trips. For years, I've been hearing about the benefits of getting an annual pass, in particular, how you can save on accommodations, and was keen to try this time. I've got a 7-day trip coming up in December of this year with my adult son, and I've really tried to make the annual pass thing work, but couldn't make it fit right. I think I'm missing something fundamental about the process. I had to lock in our flights in January to take advantage of the savings for international travel and got a room-only reservation at Port Orleans Riverside as a backup in case we couldn't get anything else, but had no idea that the resort dates would be so difficult to get right once the annual pass discounts came out. We wound up paying rack rates for the room and have normal 7-day park hopper tickets, which we bought before the price hike earlier in the year. Without the room discount, it isn't worth upgrading my ticket to an annual pass, or is it, I guess you should say, is it worth upgrading my ticket to an annual pass, even with the other discounts that come with the pass? I've heard that there are some serious shortages of rooms this holiday season, which nobody can really explain, but is there some trick to the process? Even my travel planner wasn't able to get me a room that could take advantage of the AP discounts, even though we said that we were open to a split stay. Can you guys run through the process and the approximate timelines of taking advantage of an annual pass? Kind regards, Tracy Cooper. She's in Brisbane, Australia, and does not say how many miles from Pam, but I bet you it's a bunch.
I'm sure.
So, Pam, I know that, you know, we work in this. We work with this daily, you know, hourly. Always, you know, because we know how it is to go down there. You want to have a magical time, but, you know, the best way to do that is to pay as little as possible. And if you get an annual pass, it does get frustrating from time to time when, you know, you cannot get the annual pass rate. And I will tell you, I mean, the availability, Tracy's right. I mean, there's not a ton of availability during certain times of the year. And I will say, it seems like the time she's traveling, I'm just making a guess, you know, from my experience over the last 8 years of booking travel, is I think she's down there during Pop Warner. And the thing is, when you have the Pop Warner going on, and it's just what I think, the rooms get booked extremely fast, especially the values and the moderates. It might not reflect in like a touring plan's crowd calendar because they're not typically going to be in the parks a ton. Those kids and the cheerleaders and the football players and the families, they're going to be over at Wide World of Sports, you know, in the hotels and stuff. They might go to the parks 1 or 2 days. They might be there 4 or 5, depending on how well their team does. But I think Disney's really catering to these large convention type groups, you know, and I think that fills the rooms even when you don't see the bump in the crowds at the parks. What do you say to that, Pam?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, so I will say just in general, attendance at the park is there. It's up, you know, attendance in the parks are just up. It has been. It will continue to be up during the next year. It just is. And that's just, you know, that's the cycle that we're in. I can't see that decreasing. I really can't. The resorts are getting full earlier than ever before. We've already seen it with some 2018 dates. So it's important to go ahead and lock those dates in. And the other thing that has really changed, especially when you're considering whether you buy an annual pass or not, is there are a few factors in that. First of all, the annual pass price have increased significantly, as well they should, the past few years, because it just, you know, you get 365 days of admission. And so that's a big deal. There used to be this formula for like, if you're staying, remember it was like, if you were staying 8 nights or more, yep, you should get an annual pass just for the discounts. Well, that's no longer the case because the annual passes are much more expensive than they have been in the past, and the discounts are much more limited. There just really isn't a need for Disney to offer those kinds of discounts to get people to stay in the resorts like they used to. The resorts are already full. You know, they don't need to do that. And the other thing that they've done is the past few years, because of that increased resort occupancy, is that they've oftentimes limited annual pass holder discounts so that they're only available, you know, for weekdays, even as opposed to weekends. And if when you're looking at the stretch of a period of time, if you're looking at a 7-day period, if some of your nights are not available, then when searching for that, it will not show as available. So that's another thing to consider. So there's just so many things to consider in that space. I think that if you're only looking to buy an annual pass or to upgrade to an annual pass based on the fact that you're looking for discounts on one travel date, that you're probably going to need to reconsider, because it probably will not be that beneficial to you unless you're staying at one of the more expensive resorts, and then that can impact things as well. But if you're working with a travel counselor, they can kind of help you work through that process and see, is this something that really works for me, or am I just better off getting, you know, the discounted package that may have different availability and is also available, you know, sooner in advance than an annual pass holder discount, or am I better off, you know, waiting and hoping that I get an annual pass discount?
Yeah, I totally agree. And, I understand her frustration, because being an international traveler from the other side of the world, that makes the planning, you know, because I think the thing with annual pass rates is that they're more of like a last minute squeeze in a trip type thing, you know, like, oh, well, we did
it's
find
the clearance
one.
Rack.
Exactly. That's what it is. I mean, this is what Disney has left over. They don't want those rooms to go unsold, so they're going to discount them. I will say, you kind of mentioned this, you have to be flexible on your resorts. Look at the DVC resorts. A lot of times the villas will have something, available when others don't. Typically the moderates and the values are going to be gone quickly. But you also don't see as big of a savings at those resorts. So what I say for the annual pass is, the reason I get one is because it takes the tickets out of the equation on that next trip. You know, I always try to squeeze in like two long trips and maybe a race weekend out of it. And that makes sense, because what I'm doing is I'm paying a little more for my tickets that first long trip, but then I can squeeze maybe in a race weekend and another long trip at the end of that 365-day window, only worrying about the resort room and no tickets. Now, if I want to get a dining plan or not, that's something else. You know, at least Disney did extend the dining discount, which is nice. I think those are peripheral things. I don't think you can really, you know, put those into the equation too much, like your merchandise. You know, it's nice. I mean, you might see $100, $200 savings, which, you know, that's 15, 20% of the price of an annual pass, but there's a lot of math in it. But I think the thing is, you got to look at it is, you really have to be flexible in the resort you stay at. And maybe it's an opportunity to stay at an Old Key West, because you can usually find an AP discount there longer than most places, or like an Animal Kingdom Lodge or a Wilderness Lodge. You just, you know, you're not going to typically find them at Pop Century. So, you know, that's just how it is. All right, well, let's get to the last question of the day. It's from Amy. Hi, BOGP crew. It's a Magic Band question. We are from Trussville, Alabama, which is about 2 hours from Ricky. There you go. It's close to you.
There we go. Hey, I'm starting to get stuff now.
That's it. Roll Tide. We are headed back down to Walt Disney World in March for spring break 2018. We are spending one night at Port Orleans Riverside before using points to stay five nights at the Dolphin. We are getting Magic Bands. I know we can't use them at the Dolphin, but can we use them to charge things to our credit card after checking out at Port Orleans? Thanks so much. I love listening to your podcast on my commute. Man, we have so many commuters today. Be careful out there. Watch that blind spot over your left shoulder there. Be careful. All right. So, Pam, I don't know the answer to this one. I'm hoping you do. So, they're staying at Riverside one night. They're going to have the Magic Band. Going over to the Dolphin. I mean, it'd be no different than basically staying off-site, since you can't really use the Magic Band at the Dolphin to, like, unlock your room. But can you continue to use it after checkout? You can't only till the like midnight that night, right?
It would only be valid. I mean, as just kind of a leftover of the fact that you were still at French Quarter, right? But it's not going to be valid for the other days that you're staying at the Dolphin, because it's not hooked up to a valid account anymore. So just like any other benefits you get by being an on-site Walt Disney World Resort hotel guest, you would be able to utilize those through that last day. But then that's it.
Yep. Bummer. I know they do let you use them till midnight, though, because I've checked out of my hotel physically many times and then still continue to charge that last night. You know, you squeeze it. You're staying at the Magic Kingdom till park close. They still let you charge.
That's right.
They still want your money. Okay, so that is it for the listener questions. Thanks for sending those in today. Keep them coming. Mike at com. We'll answer more next Wednesday on pre-Thanksgiving Eve. And, speaking of holidays, we want to have fun with the BR Guest Podcast community. So we are going to have a big holiday get together via our Facebook page, where we use the live video. We're going to take your calls, kind of like those old school call-in shows on a Sunday night. So I just want to say, mark December 10th. That's a Sunday. I'm going to be running the Hot Chocolate 15K with lots of lizards up here in St. Louis. We're going to have a good time that day. But that evening, I think we're going to get together. You know, it's going to be, of course, we're all Disney fans, but we may play some games. You know, I think Pam developed a game when she was down at Walt Disney World this last time.
And, no, we're not playing that one.
Maybe we will. I don't know.
We're playing that game.
Yeah, you were at Jock Lindsay's. And, you know, maybe we'll try out that new game and take some calls and have some fun. But we just want to get together during the holiday season. You know, everybody has their office parties and, you know, your school staff, you know, Christmas or holiday party. We want to have that with our family. We want to get together, celebrate Hanukkah, celebrate Christmas, everybody celebrating their holidays, and, you know, just have some call-ins and have some fun. So put December 10th on the calendar. We're going to use the live feed and, you know, get together in the chat room and, you know, just like the old days, just have a good time for an hour or so and have some fun. So we can't wait for that. All right, don't forget today's show brought to you by our great friends over at virtualmickey.com. Home of great apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. Ricky, I just gave you 2 minutes. I hope you used it wisely announcing the podcast. So what's
you
going on?
See the panic that sits on my face every time you start.
I know. I mean, you could.
The ad, and I'm like, oh, no, I haven't looked anything up yet. Okay. So new for this week, while my computer slowly turns, we'll go with the news. First, we'll go with the news of the Epcot International Flower and Garden Festival. Just real quick, the dates for this year are going to be February 28th through May 28th. So just so you know about that. But one thing that opened actually this week was the Spectaculab, which is in Epcot's Innoventions East. And it's got set shows that take place. So they take place at 10:30 a.m., 11:45 a.m., 2 o'clock p.m., 3:15 p.m., and 4:30 p.m. And guests are able to step inside and join a group of scientists along with their eager, tech-savvy intern for a series of fun and engaging experiments that demonstrate basic principles of science. And through the course of the show, guests will have the opportunity to take an active part in the demonstrations and discover how these basic scientific principles actually form the foundation of some of the technologies that we use today.
I got two words. Science rules for all you students of the 90s.
There
all right, so get all this great news. You can get news about maybe that margarita stand's opening. Maybe it's not. Who knows? They keep changing their mind over at Epcot.
Let's just...
As long as it's open by Marathon Weekend, that's all I got to say. It's a lizard tradition there. So anyway, get all the great news. It's a free iOS app, and I guarantee it will not cause a green line on your iPhone 10. So you have that. So check out all these great apps. You also have days to go. Pick them up over at virtualmickey.com. Also, don't forget, we have our Amazon affiliate link. No kidding. Please do bookmark that on your desktop computer there as you do your holiday shopping. One of our listeners, you know, he sent me Dr. Kai. He's awesome. He really supports the show every way he can. He tells me that he does a lot of his online shopping. He's honest. He does his online shopping on his smartphone. But what he does, he throws everything in his cart. And then when he gets home that night, he goes on his desktop computer, uses the link.
That's smart.
We love that. Thanks, Dr. Kai. So, you know, hey, you know, I know we all use our mobile devices. I'm the same way. But that's a great way to help support the show. It doesn't cost you anything extra. You can just click on that link and it takes care of business. And we'd really appreciate that this holiday season. So again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon for all your online shopping needs. All right, give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. Awesome Facebook page over at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And again, we are now available on Spotify, so check that out as well. All right, we're going to be back again on Friday. Pam's going to talk about her great recent trip down to Walt Disney World. She did an awesome Royal Caribbean cruise, but we're going to focus more, obviously, we're a Disney podcast, on all the happenings down at Walt Disney World. And of course, then, you know, this is not even fair. Like, we just got what we're doing this show about last week, and then Pam is going to be at Walt Disney World at the same time
next week. This show
comes out. So, yeah, I want to live the Pam for it. Ricky, you called it. Like, this is wrong. Why am I sitting here?
You all think you do. I don't know that you do.
I thought I was living the Pam Forrester life, and then she just blows it out of the water with this, and I'm like, I'm clearly not living the Pam Forrester life.
So apparently, like, we'll just call it content. We need content for Fridays, and Pam's taking care of business. Right. So that's what it is. All right, so that's it. So you guys all have a great Wednesday. It's time to get back to work. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Have a good one. We'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.